Hello, hello, everyone. It's me, the G, the I, the N, the A, Regina. I am back. It's been a minute, my Let's Talk family. I'm so happy to be back with you in 2023. And we are going to have a banger kickoff because this show is going to be about us, these 50s. So we have Toni here, and we're going to talk to her about exactly what her podcast is about. And we're going to talk about some things about her 50s and what she has going on. She's a fellow podcaster. I'm looking forward to doing that. So like I always say, you ready? Let's talk. Welcome back. Welcome back to Let's Talk 1943. So let me introduce you to Toni. We actually crossed paths before, and we just discussed that a minute ago. But Toni, I ran across her podcast and it really resonated with me. And it's about your 50s. It's talking about in her 50s. And I am 52 and a half. And we can get into this. So Toni, I would like to say thank you once again. Thank you for gracing this platform. Thank you for coming on Let's Talk 1943.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Yes, yes, yes. And before I always start my shows, I like to start with a nice little prayer just to get it kicking. So just give me a moment. Lord, thank you once again for allowing us to be on this platform, to be able to talk about everything, to be able to resonate with people, help people, and be able to give content. And like I always say, I put it out there. If it's for you, take it. If it's not, it's not. But I just want to make sure we are there to do it in your name. That's the most important part. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's go ahead and get this kicking and popping. So, Toni, your podcast really, really did resonate with me. And you was really transparent and you really talked about a lot of elements that brought you to this part of you being in your 50s. So let's start from there. What made you do this podcast? And give us a little snippet of what you were talking about when I heard.
Well, the podcast, I have been dibbling and dabbling with this for about 4 years. Just afraid to launch it, didn't want to, you know, be like everybody else, because I was going to do, you know, talk about women and entrepreneurship and, you know, dating and relationships, and none of it was my thing. And I started, of course, I'm 51 now, but as I was looking for support and looking to be a support to other women in their 50s, it crossed my mind that there wasn't a platform for that. There was nothing. There was no hashtags. Everybody was talking about the 20s, the millennials, their 40s, and then it skipped over the 60s. The 50s was non-existent. And it just hit me like, that's what the podcast should be about. Journaling and talking about life in my 50s.
Man, you know what? And that's kind of weird though, because we are a large generation. We are the 70s baby. We in the 70s. I mean, people were born in the 70s, like from 70 to 80. So it's a lot of us that are, you know, 50 and above now. So that is a big gap that is not filled. That niche you surprisingly not filled based on your research.
Based on my research. And when I tell you, it literally goes from 40 to 60. And I'm like, hello? What about the 50s? You know, they showing all of the women who stop dyeing their hair, that's embracing their gray, the women that are working out and doing all of these things, but there was nothing about women in their 50s.
And, you know, my story, my family here knows about it, but I'll just give you a little snippet because you don't know. So I had a breakdown at 49 and a half, right? I had a mental breakdown. And my mental breakdown stemmed from me not knowing who I was. It stemmed from me needing validation, having low self-esteem, having a lot of those type of issues, insecurity issues. And I actually faced it, and God kind of put it in my face for me to go ahead and face this. So I could go ahead and get over this and do what I got to do and live that purpose while I'm here to live, right? So I can't do that if I have all that other negative stuff blocking my greatness, my purpose. Right. So that has to be taken care of. So like I always tell people, it was a beautiful mess. It was a beautiful mess, but it had to happen to get where I'm at right now. Like talking to you had to happen. And when I would listen to your podcast, similar things happen. We have like parallel lives when it came to certain some things like that. I don't know what it is, but a lot of my friends and a lot of people, even if I don't know, but on Facebook, you kind of know people that know people kind of thing. But you read, a lot of people are going through a lot of changes, and just job changes, empty nesting, divorces. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people who figuring out who they are now, and they're going, wait a minute, who are you? And it's not who they are, it's who you are now, and you're not relating to that person anymore, because now you're into who you are. And a lot of us are kind of living that life of trying to live that, what you want to call it, the status quo.
Yes.
Right? You want to live the status quo. So we go, okay, this is what they told me I got to do. I need to get married. I need to have the 2.5 kids. I need to have the fence. I need to have the picket fence. Yep. I need to have this. I need that. And then when you go, wait a minute, this is not really making me happy. This is making everybody else happy. Then you realize the people you relate to, your husband, your wife, your friends, it's like an aha moment happens, right?
Yep.
So you can talk about that. You hit that a little bit on your podcast.
Yes, something similar happened to me, except it was 2 months after my 50th birthday. Leading up to 50, I was just in survival mode. I was just doing what I've always known to do. Mm-hmm. I've been a mother since I was 16 years old. So half my life, I've been a mother. I've been taking care of people. I have a total of 3 children now, 2 grandchildren. I took care of my parents, both of them before they passed. Both my parents had me later in life. My mother was 43 and my father was 53.
Woo!
So during my 30s and 40s, I'm not only taking care of my children, my grandchildren, my husband at the time, but also my parents. So unfortunately, you know, both my parents passed away. I got divorced after 23 years of marriage. My children are young adults. They are 34, 24, and 22. And I'm still in survival mode. Scared to spend any money because somebody's going to need something. Scared to go on vacation because in my mind, I still have obligations at home. I still have to worry about the kids, how they want to get to work, how they want to get to school. What if somebody calls? What if something happens and I'm in Jamaica? So I can't go on vacation. Then my job. Then I have my 500 businesses. And everything just hit me like a brick wall, literally 2 months after I turned 50. And I was having a conversation with a friend about a huge event that I had hosted. And I said, you know what? I really don't remember the event. And she said, what are you talking about? It was this, it was that. And I just had like a blank moment. I was so busy and so used to moving and just doing things.
Right.
I could not remember. I had lost gaps of time. And to this day, I still don't remember.
And but guess what? I'm gonna give something to you right now. Denzel Washington said this. I posted it on my page recently. I love him. I love him. He said, just because you're moving doesn't mean that you're productive. You can run in place and get nothing done.
Running in circles. And every time I thought I was taking one step forward, I would go 5 steps back. And I had a nervous breakdown. And when I revealed to my friends what was happening, I shut down several businesses. And they were like, what are you talking about? You were just at brunch on Saturday. You was fine. No, I wasn't. I learned how to be a liar. I can put on the face. I can go through the motions. I can kiki. I can be that person that picks up the phone and give you advice. All while I'm falling apart on the inside. And I literally hit a brick wall, got into therapy, and my life changed.
Oh, sister, let me tell you something. I had did the same thing. When I had my breakdown, I was laying on that floor all night long crying, extensive crying, that your head hurt cry. Your eyes bloodshot red cry. That next morning, I made a phone call to spiritual life coach, and that changed everything. And that's another thing. And I want to talk to my family out here today. I know there's a lot of people. My actual demographic is this age, like 35 to 65. It's like most of my audience right in that little sweet spot. So a lot of them do watch this show. And I would like for you to comment tonight. Let this be interactive. So I want you to comment if you had any questions about your fitness. Oh, you just want to tell us a little bit about what happened to you recently. Because like I said, this is not just one or two people. These are thousands of people that's in this age bracket that things are happening to. Like I said, I noticed divorces. I noticed people jumping out of planes. I noticed people taking chances or just doing like a spur of the moment, like a trip. We need to learn how to be good with ourselves, first of all. Yes. And not to be apologetic about anything, like you were just saying. I should be able to just pick, like, you know what? I'm going to go to Jamaica tomorrow. Or I'm going to go to Jamaica, you know, and just book the trip and go by yourself. You don't have to have people to go places with you. And that's rejuvenating and just to spend time with you and love you. Yes. We don't spend enough time with us. And that's one of the things. We're scared because we don't know who we are and we're scared to find out. So we just like to surround ourselves with people because that kind of gets you reflected off of who you are and dealing with your issues and dealing with insecurities that you have until you get to like me and Tony and God stops you in your tracks and make you break down. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Because that's the only time he can talk to you. When you are in that state,
you have to break down to build back up. So you have sometimes you have to break down in order to build back up.
Yeah, the breakdown, the breakthrough, right? So what is it? It's called the break. You have the breakdown to the breakthrough.
Yes, and I did just that. I gifted myself with my passport for the first time ever in my whole entire life. I have a passport. And I booked a solo cruise in March to the Bahamas this week.
So you going this March?
This March.
Yes.
March 25th through the 30th by myself for a whole week to the Bahamas.
Oh. All right now. That's what I'm saying. Those things are so important to do. It's like I'll go to a hotel, the staycation. And just go to a hotel and just go by myself and just watch movies and order food or go out and eat and come back. Yep. Just to have that time to me in another atmosphere, in another spot. Yep. We don't understand, too. It's a lot of times with this, too. You have to take yourself out of your element, right? You can't have a staycation at home with kids because they're going to know you care. You have to come out of that. You got to go, you know what? I'm worth it. I'm going to go stay at this hotel downtown, somewhere, a nice, pretty hotel, maybe a high-rise hotel because you can have a nice little atmosphere, and just go and just enjoy you. Don't answer no phones. Don't do no social media. Just enjoy you. And I'm glad you're doing it. Congratulations.
Every month, I take myself out on a date. Here in Atlanta, I always joke and say Atlanta is the home of the festivals. So we have a festival for everything.
There's
a festival, and it's one every month. And every month, I have taken myself. I go to these festivals. And last week, I was actually at the Winter Wine Festival by myself.
Ooh.
I had two different women approach me. One was older. I'm assuming maybe her 40s or 50s. And one was young lady in her 20s, and I was standing there by myself just bobbing my head to the music, sipping wine, and the lady, the one in her 20s, she said, "Auntie, you here by yourself?" And I said, "Yeah." She said, "You go, girl." And she gave me a high five and she walked off. Well, moments later, another lady came and she said, "Excuse me, can I stand next to you?" I said, "Sure." And I moved over and she says, "Are you here by yourself?" I said, "Yes." She said, "I could never."
See, that's what I'm saying, Tony. That's what I'm saying.
I can't come out by myself. I said, well, for me, I said, I'm my best company. I said, I leave when I'm ready to leave. I drink as much as I want to drink. I don't need anybody's permission. And I dance like nobody's watching. And she just gave me a smile. But her first words was, "I could never."
But who was she with?
She was with another friend who was at the bar.
Oh, so she couldn't stand by herself long enough for the woman to get a drink. She had to go talk to you.
See what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying. See that when you're insecure with your own self, that you can't wait for your friend to come from the bar. You have to be with somebody. Wow.
I've been in Atlanta. It'll be 10 years in May. I can honestly say for the first 8 years, I missed a lot of events because I didn't have any friends here outside of work. I didn't know anybody, and I didn't want to be by myself.
That's what we do. That's what we do. I lived in Atlanta, too. That's another thing I forgot to tell you. I lived in Atlanta. I lived in Atlanta for 14 years.
Okay. So you know how much it is to do here.
And you can't, there's nothing, you can never say there's nothing to do. It's always something to do in Atlanta. And even in different, even if you live in a rural area, you know what I'm saying? You have to do your homework and research. You got to go online and look. There's so many wine galleries or wine places. Go do something you have never done before. And yep. Like North Carolina, we have the mountains. You know, the Western Carolina, we got the Belmont. We got places that you can go and just, you know, do a nature walk. Or you could go to the beach. We got beaches. We got mountains. We got city. We got so much in North Carolina. You go pick it.
I used to live in North Carolina for 15 years.
Oh, see, there you go.
My husband was stationed at Fort Bragg, so we were in the Fayetteville
area. See, but you can go places. So there's always something, but spend time with you. And that's what we want to get that point across. Tony is going on a cruise by herself. Literally said, imagine the freedom of going somewhere. I'll have to call somebody. Girl, what time you gonna go? What time you wanna do? What's your flight? What flight you gonna take? We gonna go here? Okay, you gonna get this cruise? You were like, listen, here you go. Here's my credit card. This is this and that. Okay, I'll be there. And you gonna have so much fun.
Just I'm so excited. People are
they attract to you when you're by yourself. You know that, right?
Yep. I'm so excited. I can't wait. And I made a promise to myself, and I made this discovery actually in therapy, but I also made a promise to myself to not just do things, but enjoy things, be in the moment. Sometimes I'm on social media and I had a friend that just came back from Jamaica, but I felt like I was in Jamaica with her because she was posting and uploading and going live every 3 minutes. I'm like, did you enjoy it? Because you were so busy going live. I can't even see how you enjoy it. Put your phone down long enough to really embrace the moment. You can post about it when you get back. You can post about it later, but in that moment, enjoy it.
That's a good point. Take the pictures. Take the pictures so you won't miss it. And then when you go and recap later, when you get back to the cabin, get back to your hotel room at night, when you get ready to go to bed or whatever, you could do all your posts then. So you won't miss the moment. Be present in the moment. And that was one of my things I had. I'm glad you said that, because I was always never the picture taker, because I always would just be in the moment. And then I get mad later and go, oh, I wish I took pictures of, you know. So that's a way of getting it done. Take the pictures, put your phone down, be in the moment, and then later on that night, do your post. So you don't have to post, but we are, sad to say, our brains are now starting to get conditioned to be an instant gratification thing. So we feel that we gotta let you know every moment what we're doing, or we are not doing something right. And that's not how it used to be, people. We're in our 50s. We know 70s and 80s when we didn't have anything but a Polaroid. And we flagged it to get clear, so to see what we took. We had to walk, we had to go, and do the flag. So we know how it is to be patient and wait. We are just letting the technology get to us, and we really need to start being present and in the moment. And if you're by yourself, you won't have that urge to do that.
Exactly.
Oh,
my
God. I
absolutely agree.
Oh, my gosh. This is amazing. I'm so glad you said that. We got a comment here. Hey, Yemi. Hey, girl. How you doing? I haven't seen her. We actually, I met her through my cousin, and we was in Mexico together. How are you doing? She's in California. Thank you for watching. I appreciate it. We got to catch up, girl. We haven't talked in a long time. So thank you for watching. I appreciate it. So, yeah. So we, let's talk about the podcast, and how's your reaction been with your audience being in their 50s?
Man, I've received so much feedback. I was one of those people, I'm like, I don't like my voice. I don't know how to do this. I can't do this. And then I'm just like, whatever, just do it. So a lot of that first, the very first episode was a lot of, you know, friends and family and people who follow me on social media. But the second episode, because at that point I was now listed on Spotify and Apple, so it went out to more people, and feedback has just been like, oh my gosh. You know, so it's been extremely positive. The next episode is coming out actually this week, and it's live. I'm talking with Dr. Cheryl Samuels, and we're gonna talk about menopause. Because we forget, not only are we going through all of these other things, we are going through physical things too. And for me, I was like, I don't think I'm going through menopause because I don't have hot flashes. other things, you know, the exhaustion, the weight gain, the irritability. I have night sweats. And so she's my physician. And she was like, hey, if you feel like this, other women feel like this too. Menopause is more than just hot flashes and other things. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about it. So that's what we're going to talk about this week on the podcast.
Yes, let's talk about that. That's a good topic to get onto. So menopause. I started menopause in the late 40s, maybe 48, 49, when I really was getting the hot flashes. I get them now, but nothing like it was before. Like probably like between 48 to about 50-ish, I was doing the hot flash thing. I still get them, and you know, I still get hot, but it's not like it was before, but I can feel it trickling from my head, and then like a whole, like a fireball just bursts out. Let me tell you something, Tony. I said, I'm too vain, I'm too cute for this. You can just be places, looking nice, makeup and all, and you just get like a pour of sweat and you look crazy. And it's like, people are like, what in the world? And I'm like sitting there trying to pat myself. You can't use it, you gotta have tissue all over your face. You know what I'm saying? Like, you gotta keep a cloth with you. It's crazy going through menopause. When you're trying to be cute, it is not a good look. Sure is. I look like a runaway slave.
And being that I never had one, I asked my doctor, I said, if I was to have a hot flash, would I know?
She was like, You won't question that. But you know, like you said, it's more than that. That's just the symptoms that everybody see. But a major part is that weight gain, especially in your tummy area. A lot of women get that tummy weight gain. Yep. And it's a hormone change, just like we change when we got our period, we're changing to get out of our period. So we got to start realizing we can't eat certain things like we used to. We got to actually look into the foods that we're eating, low sodium foods, less sugar, less white breads, more water, things that we took for granted. A lot of us who was blessed in most of our lives not worrying about stuff, all of a sudden it's going, wait a minute, what's going on here? You're going to have to really put work into your diet now. It's not like it used to be when you can eat anything you want and then go to sleep and you wake up and it's gone. Like, no, them days are over.
And the exhaustion. Like, some days I'm in the bed at 6:30.
Oh, what?
I mean, up under the cover. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is not me. I used to stay up to 1 and 2 in the morning and, you know, whatever, and go to work at 7. She said, yeah, that's part of, you know, menopause. Your metabolism is slowing down. You're tired, you get exhausted. I was like, something is wrong now. It's barely nighttime and I'm already in the bed up under the covers. Like, it's 11 o'clock at night.
Oh, girl, please. I get in bed at 7, 8 o'clock and I'm just good because I get up early, though. I get up before 5 o'clock. I'm getting to the one of the people now. And you know, it was so funny. I was talking to one of my best friends, Derek, and I don't know, it was so funny because I was up already and he was up. And he sent me something at like 5 o'clock in the morning. And I sent it right back. It was like a little before 5 in the morning. And I called him. He's like, yep, we at that age because I'm wide awake. How I and we on the phone talking at 5 in the morning, like we was at 5 in the afternoon.
Yes.
He said, imagine us 20 years ago doing it. We were like, what in the world? Did somebody die? Why are you calling me at?
Exactly.
It changes when you get older. It changes.
It does.
It's not more. So like menopause is one of the things I think is an awakening that happens to you in your 50s. I think between the awakening and standing in your truth, being your actual true self, and what comes with that is, first of all, not being apologetic and not being sorry, or the same thing, but being sorry for who you are. Because a lot of times we don't live the life of who we are. We live the life of what we want people to think we are, or what we think people to think we are. And when we decide to drop that persona, then people look at you and go, what in the world? Who are you? This is who I always was, but I couldn't do it because I didn't feel comfortable. Now I'm comfortable who I am. So you're going to have to, now this is your decision now. Now you're going to have to decide to stay with, you know, with me, rock with me, and who I really am. Or it's okay, because see, our representatives were here for so long.
Exactly.
Now we gotta redefine our friendship. And if we are not where, or you're not good who I am now, I got it. I'm cool with it. I can't get mad at you for what I did.
Right.
You can't get mad at people if you decide to be who you are and they go, wait a minute. Either they're not ready to accept you, or not ready to accept themselves. Because we usually flock together.
Yep. And my circle has dwindled down a lot. and not for any one reason, but because I understand being strong and setting boundaries, I refuse to just set myself on fire to keep others warm. I'm not doing that anymore. I would starve myself to make sure that somebody else is cool. I'm not doing that anymore. And no longer do I feel guilty for saying no. I no longer feel obligated to do things that's outside of my comfort zone or that's going to take away from something that I want to do. Nor is your emergency my problem.
We can break that whole thing, Tom. We can take each of those sections as a subject as its own. We could take each. Let's start with no is a complete sentence.
No. I don't even feel it. I used to be that person that would give you an explanation, but let me move some stuff around. Let me try. No. No.
But you know what? I understand. I can't get upset with people because we created monsters doing this for years, right? We created these monsters. We can't get mad at people reacting a certain way because we decide to change.
Yep.
We just have to take the change and realize we're going to lose some people on the way of that change, right?
Yep.
We are going to lose people. There's no way you're going to change and keep everybody that's going to rock with you. It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
Because you're going to get yourself all bundled up and all mad up for no reason.
Yep.
You can't. Only thing you can control is right here.
Yep.
What happens outside of this is not in your control. And you got to let things flow and let them go. And like I had did my little podcast, I do every Freedom Friday. My thing was let go and let God. If you want him to get in here and do what he got to do, you got to completely let go. So you're going to lose people in the process because you had a representation of yourself that is not was you.
Yes.
And now you're showing people who you are.
Yep.
They're not going to all accept it because, first of all, if they're not good with themselves, they're going to think a couple of things. They're either going to think that you think you're better than them now. They're going to get all down, you all down, you know, this and that. Try to turn around you, peace and harmony. I don't want to hear all that crap. Because if you were somebody who you was always, girl, let me tell you, then girling this and girling, and you say, you know what, I'm done with that. I just want to be in peace. I just want to live in harmony. I just want to be my authentic self, and I just want to just live and be grateful and gracious.
Yeah.
That takes a lot of practice. You got to do that every day. And when you're not talking negative like you were, or you was into that little, you know, in the boat with everybody else, they don't have that related to you no more. So they're like, well, you ain't no fun no more because we used to talk about people. Now you don't want to talk about nobody no more.
Exactly. And I just remove myself. Like, I don't even care anymore. I used to feel so, I always prided myself on being loyal. I was that loyal friend. You can call me anytime, morning, night. I'm that loyal friend. Well, today, Tony, she ain't so loyal because my do not disturb is on. You can't call me before 11 o'clock a.m. on the weekends, and you can't get me after 9 p.m. on the weekends. If it's an emergency, then call whoever you would have called when you can't get me, because I can't fix it for you.
Girl, let me okay, hold on. We got some. Hey, Nanette, girl. Hey, what's up? Hey, girl. Yes, this is one of my faithful listeners, and she is opinionated. And I guarantee before the day is over, she goes, oh, she got something else she already saying. I know, Nanette. Yeah, yep.
We season now.
We're season now. We went through some stuff finally, Nanette. You know, I went to junior high school and high school with Nanette. And just look at us now as grown women, and she's actually a grandmother. Congratulations to you, Nanette. Now you season. You kind of know some stuff. Now you can sound like one of the old grand folks, right? Now you got something to talk about, right? Oh, yeah. No. But you know, Nanette, we were just saying this. No used to come with explanations with me, too.
Yes.
I always felt, because you know what? When you said no to people, they're still looking at you, looking in their eyes.
Yeah, like, what?
You say no, and they go, like, okay, why? And then you feel obligated. You're like, well, because, oh, I got to do this, I got to do that, you know what? But you know what? And then by the time you end that conversation, they already know you're going to fit it in somehow.
Yeah.
And that's where the loyalty part comes in. See, that's the part, the loyalty part. Because when you do that, you go, my problem was, I had the trophy of the most loyal friend. Yeah. I carry that trophy wholeheartedly.
Like a badge of honor.
can't, look, you could say anything else about me, but what you can't say about me is I'm not loyal. What you can't say about me, if you call me, I ain't gonna be there for you. If you say, I use that as this badge of honor, like this was the amazing thing about me that I'm so loyal. But at what cost though? Because see, I was loyal to conditional friends. I'm gonna explain that to you. Unconditional friends and conditional friends are two set of friends, right? Yep. When you have a friend with a conditional friend, they have store hours. If you need them between the hours of 8 to 5, they do it 125,000%, right? Call them at 6 o'clock and see what you get. Nothing. Every single book, right? Because see, we're loyal people, don't have time. We don't have clock hours. We don't have store hours. When you're loyal, you get up 3 a.m. They'll call you 2 a.m. They'll do this, they do that, and you always there to pick up the phone. You that person for them, right? Or even people in general. If you're a loyal person, it's hard to cut it off. You're going to be loyal to mostly everybody. If they earned it or they didn't earn it, because that's something that you do. Now, there's some people that take advantage of that. You know, they'll take advantage of that. And there's some good friends that y'all go back and forth with it, right?
Right.
So I had to learn to give my conditional hours to the conditional people and my unconditional hours to my unconditional people. And that took time, and I had to figure that out because I'm running myself ragged and, you know, trying to accommodate all these people who would never go out the way for me. I have friends that I would do whatever for, and I felt uncomfortable to call them to ask them to do the same.
Exactly.
That's a bad thing.
I never forget when my mother passed, I was a wreck. I was a mess. Now, my father passed first, but when my mother passed, I felt like a part of me died too. Like I was physically in pain. And I just recall all of the times I dropped everything to be with friends who had lost a loved one, especially, you know, a parent or a child. Mm-hmm. I would cook, take off work, sit in the house, I'm planning a repass, I'm doing all of this stuff. And my phone was silent. My house was empty. Nobody bought food. Nobody called. All I got was a bunch of posts on Facebook. Call me if you need me.
Oh, that's the condition. That's a conditional friend. Oh, yeah, yeah. You're not in their store hours, honey. You're not in their store hours.
Nobody had to tell me, call me if you need me, because I showed up. And when I brought this up to people and said, you know, when my mom passed, you wasn't there, you didn't come, you didn't come over, they would say stuff like, oh, well, I figured your siblings was there, or I figured your other friends that you knew longer than me was there. God.
But you know what? That's cool. See, this is where the growth comes in at this moment, right? You're good with that because, see, you created that monster by being that person. So you can't get mad at them. You gave your unconditional hours to conditional people.
Yeah.
And you got back what you're supposed to get back. Mm-hmm. So that just shows you, that was just to tell you who you're dealing with, right?
Exactly.
And that you know how to pivot and reset. Now you're good now. That's why I had to learn too. That's why I'm very good at this, because now I understood. I used to get mad like you did. I used to question. Yes. I used to question. I don't do that no more. I just say, okay, I see. Mm-hmm. You're Gucci. When I say that to you, when we Gucci, we're done. We Gucci. Don't worry about it. I got it. I got it now because I see where we at, and it's okay because it's not your fault.
Mm-hmm.
It's mine.
Yeah.
It's not your fault. I'm not blaming you for this.
Yep.
You played your position. You played your position. And now I have to play mine. Now I got to do I got to get my Oscar right now, because now I'm going to show you better than I can tell you, because now I know who I am. I stand in my truth and I know who I am. And I know that I deserve better than what you were giving me, but it's okay. I'm not that type of person. If we're not as cool, I don't do all that craziness, because I'm still a loyal person.
Exactly.
If you ever tell me anything, it stays with me. Regardless, I'll never do that to you. You know, at the time you gave it to me, under that condition, and I would never be a traitor. But we'll just part ways. That's
Let
all.
It be.
Let it be.
We train people how to treat us. We train our employer how to treat us. So now I'm training from the beginning, like you do a brand new puppy. These are the boundaries. And if you step outside of those boundaries that I have set, it's a wrap.
Yeah, and it's done wastefully.
Too harsh. It's reality. We all grown now. We in our 50s. You know what it takes to be a friend. You know what it takes to be a supporter. You know what it takes to be caring, loving. I don't have to teach you that. Either that's already in you or it's not. Either you want to give that part of yourself to me or you don't. I'm not going to teach it to you.
Right. It's not our job to. It's our job to be who we are. And our job to be who we are, we just, like you said, you control what's going on in your life. And that's your job. Your job is to take in what you want and then leave out the rest. That's your job. When we start realizing that and stop getting all riled up with people's lives, you cannot control and change people. Stop it. You going rah-rah, like we used to back in the day, we used to call it rah-rah. You going rah-rah, going back and forth with people because you want to prove your point. They're not going to get it. Just like you are proving your point to them, they're proving their point to you.
Exactly.
Sometimes you got to agree to disagree and just let it go. They just not that type of person. You change, they did not. You cannot expect them to just jump on your bandwagon because you, that's all this new changing is not for everyone. Just say, you know, I didn't realize it. I realize it now. We still good. You know, I'm like, what's up? How you doing? Blah, blah, blah. We'll be surface. We're not going to be deep. We'll just be, hey, how are you? How's your kids? How your mom? All right, we good. That's it. We can't do all that other
details. We share pleasantries, as I like to say.
yeah, exactly. We can't do that. Hey, Nanette. Okay, she said, oh, okay, you'll be here in March. Okay. Woo, I can't believe it, girl. Well, you've been a grandmother, Tony, right?
Yes, my grandson will be 12 in 2 weeks, and my grandson will be 13 in 2 weeks, and my granddaughter is 11.
And I can't believe, because our children used to play together. We used to live down the street from each other in Atlanta. She's still there. And our children are the same age, and we used to play together. I can't believe they're almost in their 30s now. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, I know. Oh, yeah. You got to.
Walk away.
You get the blinking eyes, and they'd be looking at you like, okay, what you going to do to change that? No, right?
Absolutely nothing.
I know nothing. Very true. Gina is a loyal friend. She knows. Jeanette been here for over 30 years. She knows me. I am a loyal friend. And I'm good. I'm glad I am a loyal friend. But I had to be loyal to the right people in that. That was the problem. I wasn't loyal to the people who deserve my loyalty. I was loyal to everyone. And everyone don't deserve that time. And as we get older, we realize our time is precious and our time is valuable. And we just don't have to give our time to every single person. But we need to give it to ourselves. And like you said, you know, like my mother's getting older. I'm taking care of my mother now. And we're in the sweet spot. We're in this little middle that we still have children sometimes that are not adult age or close to adult age. And we got to take care of our parents. We're in that middle. They're called the sandwich generation. The sandwich generation. I'm there now. And I think most of us are. I think most of us at the sandwich generation that we are losing parents or we're taking care of parents and we still have kids that we got to look over. So
yes.
It's already a stressful life as it is. We don't need to add on extra stress on people we cannot control. So yes, that walk away. Like you said earlier, I match energy, baby. They give is what they get back, period. My block list is long.
Oh, yes.
You don't know Nanette. I gotta get you on one of my shows, y'all. Y'all will love her. Nanette will have you laughing this whole time. And I can hear, the reason why I'm laughing because I know her and I know how she's saying it. So I know how it's coming out of her mouth right now. So,
you know, I've been working on not even matching energies, but I've been working on myself and maintaining my own energy because I believe that you attract what you need. So I'm working and putting that focus on maintaining my energy, the positiveness, being uplifted as much as I can. Because we all, you know, crumble. We all have moments, we all fall. But just like I had a conversation with some friends yesterday about the young man who was killed and the police officers was being, you know, they was arrested and fired and all of that good stuff. And then she came back with, well, I just want to know how come they don't do that when the white officers do that to us. And I say, listen, we can't keep having these same arguments. We would have had an argument if we didn't arrest the police officers, and now we got an argument because we arrested them. What do you want? You know, you just in the space of just wanting to be mad. Be mad at what happened. Be, you know, give grace to that mother who lost her energy. Son.
Right, direct the energy.
I don't have the energy to focus on why we didn't do that to the white officers. We did it in this situation. We took care of it immediately. So for me, it's showing change. For me, it's showing progression. I think that it happened, but I'm happy that the individuals was arrested and fired.
Right, and that's the decision you have to make. And that's when you start getting intentional, that's what you're doing right now. You're being intentional. And that's another thing when you get in your 50s, being intentional. A lot of times when we used to do stuff, we was on autopilot. We would just go. And we don't think about what we do. We just do because we are told we're supposed to do it, or we do it because everybody else is doing it. And we don't really think about what we want to do. So we just go. So it's really no attention to it. So we just go. When you start realizing who you are and start standing your truth and then go, okay, I understand what's happening. It's like the Matrix. It's literally the Matrix.
Yes.
You ever saw the movie The Matrix? And when Keanu Reeves realized, when he took that thing off and he saw what he was really living in, he was just like blown away. He was like, because he did the rat race. And when he realized, like, stopped long enough to learn something, and then he said, wait a minute, what in the world? So this is what we really in? What in the world is this? That is how it is when you're in your 50s. The Matrix happens to us. And when we realize who we are, a lot of us are going through this, like, trying to learn people all over again. Like, a lot of our friends are trying to learn our friends again. And you're seeing things they never done before. You're going like, oh my gosh, like, I never knew, and this and that. It's like we're going through this Matrix change right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what's happening. It's really...
I can honestly say, I used to say that my 30s was like my best years because I was partying, you know, I had the fat stomach, so my outfits used to be popping. You know, I could still walk around in the 6-inch stilettos. You know, I was doing my thing. But I can honestly say that now, even though I'm only 1 year into my 50s, that my 50s is my best time because, one, I know who I am. I'm okay and I love myself. I'm not walking around with this facade. I'm not walking around trying to be everything to everybody. I'm being authentically me. Whatever that looks like to other people, that's not my problem. I know that I can go to sleep at night and I am happy with who I am. I did my job as a mother. I did my job as a daughter. I did my job as a wife. And I did my job as a friend. All of the work that I'm doing now is solely for me. It's for my benefit only. Everybody else, y'all gotta be good, because I'm good.
I'm good. So you good? I don't know, but I'm good. But I'm good. You know, and that's where I'm saying, when you get to that point, as I keep emphasizing, you have to understand that you're gonna lose some people on that. Because when people are used to you being there for them, and especially even your family, the families are the worst. They're the worst. They're the worst because they really know who you were and they don't want to let it go. And if it benefit them, they definitely don't want to let it go because they were benefiting all these years. Think about it. You have people trained for 20, 30, 40 years. And all of a sudden, one day you go, well, that's not me no more. I'm not doing this, and that. They're going to rebel. So you got to get ready for that.
And my family rebel. You know, I'm the youngest of six. Keep in mind, I am 51. They will still treat me as if I was 12. Because my siblings was older when I was born. They were older.
That's right. You said they was, you were, right. Your parents were older, right?
My parents was older. And when I was born, the youngest before me was 16. The oldest was 20. So literally, my siblings was old enough to be my parents.
Your parents, yeah.
Because I was the golden child, I was molded from birth. I was going to be the one to go to college. I was going to be the one to get a good corporate job. I was going to be the one to do all of the things that they did not do. And honestly, that's how my life was until my mother passed. And when I said no more, they looking at me like, what are you talking about? What do you mean? Excuse me?
Wow.
You the baby sister. They still call me the baby sister. I'm 50.
Well, you want to be always a baby sister because you fall in line as a baby. Like, somebody's the
not
oldest.
Not just say it, but treat me as that.
Okay, that's different.
And I'm like, yeah. You do know at the time I'm married with kids. Like, my kids are 30. I'm not a baby. I'm a whole grown woman.
It's the way you get treated. I could get that.
And when I walked away, you know, of course, you go through that. That's your, those are your siblings. That's your family. Just because we share the same DNA does not give you a front row to the seat of my life. You don't get that. I gave it to you, and I take it away.
Well, you know, and that's the whole point of the changing. So I'm going to talk about, actually, I got another comment. Hold on 1 second. Let me get those, make sure I get them all in. So, yeah. Oh, all right, Nanette, you said you ready? All right, now I'm a challenge you, Nanette. I can let you on this show so you could go ahead and ask Tony a question, or you want to comment about your fit. I can put you on tonight if you want to. I can send you the link and I can just put you in here. If you're ready, just comment and let me know, and I'll send you the link and then we could chat with you for a minute or two, okay? So just let me know. 40s was my best years for, oh, he said great sex. But I am enjoying my
50s. I know that's right.
I'm really settled in my boundaries, and I say what, oh, well, you know that was dang different. She always say what she want to say. And what's on your mind? Well, you know, that's two. That, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. So let's talk about dating. If you're at that, like I said early in the show. Nanette, you want to get on this one, you better go ahead and let me know because I don't see the link. Dating.
Well, you know, I was married for 23 years. So when I decided to separate and then eventually divorce, I only knew one way of dating. You know what I'm saying? So this new way where the guys seem like they are resistant to like take you out, or they feel like, oh, you just want a free dinner or something crazy, or the online dating thing. All of that was new to me. I have literally been in a relationship since I was 15 years old. You know, ooh, all of my relationships, I've never different. Dated. Everybody that I would meet, I would end up with that person for at least 2 to 3 years, and then with my ex-husband. And it's so funny because we both met. First thing out of both of our mouths was, we don't, neither one of us wanted a relationship, and spent every day together after that day. And so 23 years later, it's like, what? Like, what you mean? Like, all of these texting all the days, and then the ghosting, and then, oh, well, let's meet for coffee. Coffee? Like, I hate coffee. I don't want to meet for coffee. I want to meet for dinner. I got coffee at home.
Look, she said, I ain't used to this kind of thing. Listen.
I ain't used to it. And then I'm used to God. Well, I guess 23 years ago, they was healthy. But now, they got high blood pressure. They got diabetes. You know, they got this. They got that. They need a blue pill. They need all of these things. And I was like, listen here. You exhausted me. It's too much. All of this. Yeah, I'm trying to get on my feet. I'm trying to build my credit. Well, homie, come see me when you up on them. I ain't got time to build it.
Come see how you build it.
Or I get the opposite. Those that are doing well and in position, but they 50 with a 3-year-old. Now, sir, just give me my dad.
You know we gotta say the sir.
53 with an infant.
Sir.
Yes or no?
Sir.
Sorry,
this
no.
Look, we can't. But you know what? It's so funny. I haven't really dated in 3 years. I decided to be celibate. I decided to let all that go to focus on me. And I'm glad I did, because I needed to clean out. Like, sometimes we gotta clean out, like detox, clean out. We get so I guess filled so much stuff, you know, going on when you get all that going on. So it's like I had to kind of clean all that out. And I now see clearly because the rain is gone.
I'm going to tell you something. Mm-hmm. Man, I knew that I had grown as a woman and as a person. Because again, I'm in therapy and I'm doing the work. Sometimes work, it hurts. It's guilty. It don't feel good.
Yeah.
But I had set these boundaries. I knew what I wanted. And not just a relationship, but in a friendship. So I met a man, and instantly he told me that he was diabetic. So I said, pause. You know, if your diabetes controlled, like, what's going on? So he's like, no, I just take my insulin, it's controlled. Well, fast forward, and we have a very good relationship, everything is good. Fast forward, you know, we get engaged, and we move in toward, you know, getting married, and now we, you know, combining households, we sharing calendars. Well, I get his calendar from his daughter, and it's lit up like the rainbow with all of these doctor's appointments. And I said, now, wait a minute. For somebody whose issues are controlled, this is a lot of doggone doctor's appointments. Well, needless to say, nothing was controlled. Everything was out of control. And I called everything off, and I said, because I do not want to spend this phase of my life being a caregiver.
You know, Tony,
I know it sounds shitty.
No, you gotta be, you being who you, yay, you and your
truth. I don't want to do this. I took care of my parents, I took care of my kids. This phase of my life is for me. I'm not going to be anybody's caregiver. There's a difference between being there for somebody who has the flu and being there for somebody who has a chronic illness where your whole 30-day calendar is lit up orange, green, purple, red, and blue because you got to go to all of those different doctors.
Well, you know, I'm not laughing because of the course, the illness. I'm laughing of you illustrating the calendar colors.
It was. I said, oh my gosh. And you know how the young folks, like my daughter say, get somebody else to do it? Sir, get somebody else to do it. To do it. I gave that the ring and all. And I really thought, oh, I give her a ring, we get married, she won't call it off.
Maybe
24 years ago. But today, I don't mind get somebody
else. He said, I can't, Tony. You got me on that one. Nanette, I sent you the link, sweetie. Go through your Facebook Messenger and just click on the link, and it's going to bring you right into my studio, and I'll just add you in. So it's there. Look at your Facebook Messenger.
But that's when I knew I had grown, because I remember the day I would have been like, oh my God, I can't leave him like this. I got to be here for him. I got to support him. It won't look right for me to leave like this. Mm-hmm. Oh, it looks fine. We are still friends. We are friendly. But, baby, get somebody else to do it.
He said, it looks fine. But you're right, though. When you're a person like, I'm going to say we, because we have a lot in common, you worry about that. And actually, one of my co-hosts, we talked about this on a show we had. She walked down the aisle knowing she should not got married, but she was so concerned on everyone else who bought plane tickets and came and the money and all that. Like, she was so concerned. And that's not just her, it's a lot of people like that. And I'm one of those. Like, you worried about everyone else and how you look. We're so worried about the image and how we look and what we look like towards other people. And in your situation, they probably thought it was like, oh, as soon as he got something wrong, he gonna throw him back in, you know? And it's not that. It is, I know what I can deal with, because see, we gotta be honest with ourselves. And it's hard too, because let's add another layer to it. You're in a full-fledged relationship. You're engaged. You're about to get married. You know, you're older. You is like, people think it's like a trophy, right? I got the fiance, you know, I ain't by myself, you know, and some people's very insecure. And they know they rather deal with that stuff just to say they have a husband instead of being true to themselves and go, you know what? I can't sign up for 40, God willing, 30 more years in this world taking care of someone when I got to worry about me too when I get older, and I'm already going into a situation that's going to be, he's older, he's going to expect you to not just be there, okay, he's going to expect you to be like, take you to the doctor, do this and do that, and you don't know until then. So imagine, you don't know what in depth this is going. Like, you don't know exactly these appointments. You're not going to these doctor's appointments. You don't know what they're doing to him. You don't know what they're telling him. And he could be, if he's not really up on his health, like he just, some people just take the pills and just keep going and they don't change their diet. Exactly. They don't. So if he's one of those type of people, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. If he's like serious about it and he works out, I think the element could have been a little different if he showed you that he's working out, he's staying fit, he's watching what he's eating.
Well, in all honesty, because my friend asked me, a friend of mine, she's sitting down talking, is it that he's sick and you didn't know how sick he was, or is it that you just don't want to do it? I said, it's all of it. Because he told me on day one that this was, because he told me day one, I'm diabetic. And he told me the rest of it, we would have never went to day two.
Okay, good point.
And when it stopped right then and there, and as I was talking this through with my therapist, because in all honesty, a part of me did feel bad. I did not want, I was not trying to hurt him. I was very hurt in the decision, but I had to make that for me. And she said this to me. She said, you are a middle-aged woman. I said, sis, who are you talking to? She said, I'm talking to you. You are a middle-aged woman. And as a middle-aged woman, is that the responsibility you want to take on? I was so taken aback because she called me middle-aged. I said, now wait a minute. She's right. I am half of 100.
You clutching your pearls like you don't know that. Well, you are who, you know, like they always say, is who, how you feel and how you treat yourself, and you work out and eat right. Age is nothing but a number. And as we get older, this next generation, our generation is totally different than our parents and vice versa. You know, and we are staying younger. We are more hip. We more engaged. We know technology. We are different. We are different. We definitely are. And I don't want to ever claim old. I know sometimes we joke about it, like, girl, you know, I'm getting old.
Right.
We'll just joke about it, but I don't want to claim old because I don't feel old. I feel like I'm still, not saying I feel exactly like high school, but I still feel like, you know, young. I don't feel like I guess, quote unquote, feel. I mean,
exactly. A lot of
us, and I noticed too, because I mean, even on TikTok, I look at it once in a while. You can't look at that too long. You go down a rabbit hole with that. But if you look at TikTok, they have this trend about, you know, everybody showing that they were born in the 70s and 60s and how they look. And they're talking about this Generation X look good. They look better than half of the younger generation, you know. Mm-hmm. And, that's another thing we could talk about real quick. Nanette, I hope you got it. If you didn't get the link, let me know. Just hit me real quick. Let me know. With the age, I noticed even in celebrities that are our age, a major difference in the last 5 years. A lot of the ones, a lot of the hip hop artists, a lot of the R&B artists, a lot of the actors, actresses are our age that we grew up with. They look amazing now. A lot of the men, they all work out now. It's amazing. Yes. They change because, you know, in their 30s and early 40s, they gain a lot of weight and then they were drinking and hanging out and they changed their whole diet. And it's like amazing, and it gives me inspiration to go, wow, look at these people are our age. They grew up with us, and look at them. You know, so okay, it's never too late.
Even my daughter, you know, she's like, Mom, you don't look 50. You know, you look like you're in your 40s, but you don't look 50. I don't think I dress old, as some people say, and I don't dress young either. I think I dress, you know, appropriate. I'm still hip to a lot of stuff. You know, of course, I'm all about the 90s and old school hip-hop, but I know some new stuff too.
Okay.
You know, I can go and hang with the best of them. Like my daughter and I, she's 24. Her and I go to Mardi Gras together. And people are like, you going with your daughter? I sure am. I sure am.
It's just count. That's a whole nother topic too. You know, with the relationship thing and dating, when you have a grown kids, that's a good thing too. Because I'm telling you, when I first got divorced and I was 40, dating when you have younger kids is a woo. Because you can't show them who you dating, and you got to get someone to watch the kids, and then you got to, you know, be careful what you say. It's just like cloak and dagger, man. I was like, look, man, this is for the birds. And a lot of people waited, you know. They're just like, I'll just wait till my kids get older before I date, because I don't want to have to introduce them to different people. And I get it now, you know. At the time, I didn't understand that, because I was that person that, you know, I needed to have someone, so I was going to do what I had to do to get someone, you know, and now I understand that, of course, but then I did. But now when you're older and you could actually hang out with your kids, my daughter is 27, and, you know, we'll go out somewhere, you know, and she gets some wine, she'll, you know, get some wine, and we have some wine, you know, it's weird, you know, she's still respectful, and she won't drink crazy around me like that.
Right.
She'll be light or whatever, and I do like that. That she still respects our relationship as a mother and daughter, mm-hmm. but she's grown too. You know what I'm saying? You can't tell your grown kids what to do. And you raise them enough so they will respect you in your mm-hmm. presence, but yet they will be grown and do grown things. So it's a little balancing act with that. But that's where, you know, our upbringing goes with our kids, you know.
Exactly.
But you can't get mad, you know, if they grown, you know. If they, you always been preaching and teaching. Long as you're in my house, you gotta do what I do. When you get out your house, you can do everything you wanna do. I don't care what you do at my house. If you're at their house, you can't go, well, look, I don't think you should be doing that. Listen, you told them all their lives when they get out and pay their own bills, have their own place, they can do whatever they wanna do. And they doing whatever they wanna do, you gotta deal with it.
Yep.
That's like you doing what you wanna do. And your parents gotta deal with it, you know?
And I'm very thankful that I have a very good relationship with all of my kids. And you know, we are open, we're honest, we talk about things. I already know when it's something that they want to talk about or something that has hurt them, I'm mocking. But if it's everything is all good, hey girl, that's my daughter, hey girl.
Yeah, exactly. You already know what's coming. You always know what's coming.
Know.
So I'm going to go ahead, you know, and as we're talking here, I want to go ahead and put up your information. As you see on the bottom of the screen, ladies and gentlemen, I've been having her information the whole time. I'm believing supporting. I've always been like that. I always believe what's for you is for you. What God has for you is for you. You not helping people, not supporting people, if they're in your same genre or same profession, is not going to help you succeed any faster. I promise you that. There's enough people in this world for everybody. And people can listen to more than one podcast. You know, and everything you talk about is not everything she talks about, and vice versa. So I believe in that. I believe in our sisterhood. I believe in supporting. So here's her information on the bottom of the screen here. As you see, she is amazing. She is funny as heck. She gets it. Oh my goodness. So please support her. Go to her page. Like I said, I literally just found it. I don't know how I found it that day. Oh, I know God had did a divine order thing. But I got on there and I was just stuck on her and her transparency. And you know, she talks about her health crisis she had lupus as well.
Yes.
And she talked about how she recovered from that and her breakdown, and we had so many parallels that it was just like, oh my God, this is amazing. So let me go ahead and put that up here so our audience could see your podcast and know what it looks like.
And it's only a couple of episodes there, but as I, you know, get deeper into it, and most of my story I have shared my domestic violence relationship when I was a teenager and how to this day some parts of it, you know, still affects me, my marriage and how him and I are still best friends today. And just life, you know, living in my 50s, like this is really my truest and bestest, if that's a word, self. And I'm just overall happy, you know. My good days outweigh bad days. I've lost a lot of friends who didn't even make it to 50. So I'm very grateful and blessed to even be here and have this opportunity.
Yes, yes. And then she's going to talk about all that. Like you said, it's in her 50s. You got Tony here. She's actually from Jersey. That's another thing we have in common. She lives in D.C. as well, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so Jersey girl up here as well. So I just had to definitely show her love, and she showed me love. And you really help me solidify some things in my life by talking to you, because you know how sometimes you do things and you know you're doing right, but sometimes you feel like you're the only one doing.
Yes.
You know, so for you to say exactly what I'm doing and you're doing the same thing, and the net helped out too. you know, don't feel bad, people. Please be who you are. Unapologetically be who you are. Stand your truth, and who's supposed to be in your life will be in your life. If they're not supposed to, let it go and let it flow. God has plans for you that you don't understand. Proverbs 3:5-6. Lean not on your understanding. Trust in God with all your heart, and he will straighten out your crooked path. It is about his understanding and not yours. So please understand that. You've got to let it happen. Stop trying to just get in there and drive a car that's not supposed to be yours. You always say, Jesus, take the wheel. And then when he takes the wheel, you try to take it back and tell him, turn here, turn there, turn here.
I would like to write on people's hearts too, because I've struggled with it. And honestly, sometimes I still struggle with it. And it's the feeling of I'm running out of time. So there's a lot of things that I want to do, a lot of things that I feel like I should have already done them. Or, you know, like, oh my God, I'm too old to be starting another business. I'm too old to be still in this same space. But I'm also learning that this is my journey. You know, what other people were able to accomplish at 20, 30, or 40 was not meant for me. I know me. In my 20s, 30s, and 40s, if I was a six-figure earner, I would have blown every single dime. I would have been Gucci to the floor. I would have been Gucci to the ceiling. And I would have had Versace dinnerware all across my doggone kitchen. But at 50, I know that. So it was not meant for me to earn six figures at 20, 30, or 40. It was not meant for me to be the way I am now in my business, to be there 20 years ago. It would not have had the same effect. So what I'm doing now is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is my journey.
Right.
And I want others to know, whether you're 20, 30, 40, 50, or 60, it's not too late. As long as you have breath in your body, it's not too late.
Nope. Amen, Tony. Amen to that. Then, like I said, God has his time and positions for you, and everything is not supposed to happen to you at the same time that happens to someone else. If someone else get married at 23, great for them. Sorry, get married at 33, great for them. 43, great for them. Maybe your time is 63, because maybe you need to do some things, and we are too busy worrying about that and not doing what we're supposed to be doing, and that's prolonging why you're not meeting the person you need to meet. He's there. He's doing what he got to do to get ready for you. You need to do what you're ready to get for you, for him. But if you're too busy worrying about why he ain't there, and you're not doing what you need to do to be ready for him, he's never going to come, people. It's not going to happen. Because you don't want anybody. You want somebody who's going to mean something to you. Mm-hmm. Career-wise, I retired from my job after 20 years. I stepped out on faith. I did it. I'm doing what I love. I actually know what my purpose is in this world. I have my podcast. I have my talk show. I'm an author. I have journals. I'm a motivational speaker. I'm a life coach. I'm a professional organizer. I am now just starting a nonprofit organization just several weeks ago. And I actually have a program called Ring Out Your Sponge that I had started with high schools in my local area. And I have other things about to come off and pop off from that. That would never happen if I stayed with that job. Never would happen. Mm-hmm. I realized that I needed to step out of my way and let God go in and let him do it his way. And I have not felt wrong. I haven't felt that I made a mistake. I didn't feel that I'm doing something. Then some days, you know, you wish things happen faster than they do. Okay, so be it. But I understand my assignment. I understand that it's given to me as well as I need it. It comes where it needs to come. Just like Tony said, if I got it sooner, I would have blown it. If I got this in my 40s, I would not know what to do with it. I got it when I was supposed to get it, because I had to do my work, and I did my work. And in the process of doing my work, I was rewarded to get this stuff, because now I know how to hold on to it and make it grow. Because if I got it in sooner, it would already been dead in the water. And it's going on 2.5 years now, and I'm actually prospering. And I actually have my cruise. I think I told everyone about this before, but I have a Ring Out Your Sponge conference cruise. I'm going to the Bahamas as well. Tony, I wish I'd known, girl, came to my cruise. And it's going to be in May 19th through the 22nd. I have all my cabins filled. I do have extra ones if you want. My travel agent said she will make some happen, magic happen. So if you're still interested in joining the cruise, you are welcome to do so. But I did get my cabin filled up. I'm so excited. My first conference on sea. And so that's what God's doing for me. So, Tony, I know you got a lot happening as well. So before we close out today, just let us know what's going on and what you're doing.
Well, speaking of cruising, I just yesterday launched another business, my travel agency.
Great, Tony, just great.
Come see the world. So I'm going to be booking trips and planning group trips for women and men in their 50s. These will be all adult trips that we are going to be taking. So I have that coming up. My event planning business is going crazy. So I have my signature event coming back in July 29th for Cupcakes and Cocktails, the celebration of women and sisterhood here in Atlanta. And then I also have, of course, everything still going strong with Bees in the Trap. That's my lemonade and cocktail business. So we are getting ready to launch our private line of bottled water and our coffee line, which is called Muddy Gel. So sis is busy. I'm working.
That's what I'm talking about. We're not too old, obviously, right?
Not too old. And I'm co-managing my daughter who has 3 businesses of her own. So
that's what I'm talking about. Manager. That's what I'm talking about. So it's never too late. You're never too old. You know, just pray, ask God to give you guidance and give you clarity. And he'll be able to show you exactly where you need to go. Do not feel sorry. Do not apologize. Be who you are. We all fall short. We all make mistakes. We all going to be wrong. When it's your time to be wrong, just say, Lord, I'm sorry, repent, and let it go. Because the person who's talking about you, their time is coming up next. Yep. No one is better than no one else. When you realize that we're all on an even playing field, that's going to make you feel so much better. Because when your time comes, you're going to ask for that grace and mercy, and that person next to you is going to need it too. So don't think that you're the only one going through anything. We all go through something.
Yes.
I got my soapbox.
Like my mother tell me, everybody goes through something. You have to learn how to live and deal with your something.
Right. And that's why I said, don't throw those stone at that house that's glass, because your time is coming. Nobody's going to be, you're going to have this perfect life. Everybody's going to have something to deal with. It's called building character.
Yes.
Called building character. That stuff builds you. That stuff makes you. That stuff makes it happen that you are able to go to that next level in life. You got to go through some growth to be able to grow.
Yes.
It's only going to happen. So, Lynette, I'm sorry that you didn't get through, but what I'll do next time, my next show, I will be doing my shows. Right now, we're going to be doing them once a month, the live show once a month. I have, like I said, God has blessed me and put me in a platform and put me in different things that I have to do a lot of traveling. So I'm going to do the show once a month, but I still do my business spotlights, and I usually record those, and then I post them on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So you have, and I may have Tony come back if she wants to promote her business. So we'll have her come back. So what I do is I do record those, and I post those on Wednesdays at 6 o'clock. If you have a business, if you have a service, if you have a product that you want to put out here on my platform, Business Spotlight Edition of Let's Talk 1943, you can just see my information right here. Email me. See it right there. Email me and give me the details, and I'll send you my stuff, and then we'll go ahead and get it set up. It's very simple. It's only 20 minutes or so. We get it in. We talk about your business. We let people know who you are. And that's my way of giving back to my community. And that helps you get some content and some media that you can use on your platform. So thank you so much, Tony. I totally appreciate you coming. I enjoyed you so much. You got to come back.
I got to get you on my podcast, too.
Oh, you know, I'm coming. Girl, just tell me when. Just tell me when.
Yes.
Just tell me when. I would love it. We will have a ball.
We will have a ball. So,
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. So I want to thank my audience once again. You've been rocking with me going on 2 years. February 14th will be my, oh, wait a minute, excuse me, 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh my God. Oh my, cut myself a year. we've been rocking with each other. I totally appreciate it. I never take you for granted. I know you could be anywhere and I see it. Y'all still holding on. I got people still watching this hour and 15 minutes in. I love you. I love you. I'm asking you to please share this show. Let people get on this train that we are on. This is an amazing platform. If you want to come on my show, if you have a topic to talk about, I'm going to open it up this year. I never done this. I usually just schedule my shows, but I'm going to do something different, you know, because we're changing growth, right? Yep. If you have a topic, you have something you want to talk about, bring it to me. If it's something that falls in line with my platform, I would love to have you on as a guest. Just like Tony's on, I will have you on. So just email me and just give me your info. We ready to rock and roll. All right? So, Tony, just hold on for a minute. Don't hang up or don't click off.
All right.
Well, I want to thank everybody once again. I appreciate you. I love you. Until next time, God bless. And see you later.